Comic Book Club. Comic Book Club. Comic Book Club. Comic Book Club. Hey, everybody, welcome to Comic Book Club. And now here are your hosts, Pete LePage, Justin Tyler, and Alex Zalvin.
Hey. Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome to Comic Book Club. I'm Alex.
I'm Justin.
I am Pete.
And let's hear it for Jordan D. White. More of him later.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Comic Book Club's
burlesque spectacular.
Yeah. Whoa, sorry, audio.
That got weird.
Yeah, we're doing a burlesque thing. Oh, I'm covered in pasties. I don't need these clothes.
Yeah, if you're listening at home, actually, we're all covered in pasties.
Nope.
Yeah,
no, that's how you use those. Right?
Speaking of pasties and other things that go around, it's almost the end of the year. Yeah. It's come around to that time again.
The year is like a big old round pace.
It's our year-end wrap-up show. Yep.
Yes, it is. That's pretty exciting. So, people love our opening bits. They're one of the signature parts of our show. They're always very well planned out. Mm-hmm. So, to that end, let's talk about the show as a whole.
Okay, right. Good, right?
What was your favorite thing that happened on this show? This year, Pete, go.
That's great.
I'm going to say Marvel Station was my favorite thing.
Oh, yes, we did a show at Marvel Station where we got to hold
Times
the
Square,
Thor
and
hammer.
We got to hold the Thor hammer. That was pretty amazing.
Yeah, it was very cool.
That was pretty cool. Justin, what about you?
I really like this show that you and I did at the New York Mini Con.
Oh, that was really good as
well. Special Edition Con, where we were. It was great. We had a full
That doesn't
huge
count. I wasn't there.
It could still be my favorite, and maybe you should look into why it is my favorite.
Interesting. And for me, I always like to say that our best show hasn't really happened yet. So I'm still waiting. I'm still waiting around.
To see what happens. That's my line, and I tried to be a mature adult and not say it this time.
Well, that's our New Year's resolution. We'll be mature adults next year, but for this year, we're going to keep talking about comic books. With two of our favorite guests on the show here to help us wrap out the year. One is an incredibly prolific writer working on a ton of stuff that we will talk about in a moment. The other one is a prolific editor who is editing a bunch of stuff that we'll talk about in a moment.
So prolific, these
Ladies
guys.
And gentlemen, Charles Soule and Jordan D. White.
Yeah, guys, welcome. Thanks so much for coming back on the show. It's so great having you. Please have a seat.
It's great to be back.
Grab your microphone.
It's been a little while since I've been on.
Yeah,
I think so. It's been a couple of months.
Well, time moves differently for you based on the amount of output you have.
Yeah, I usually have 37-hour days. It's pretty nice. It's like I live on Jupiter.
Now, one thing that actually has happened to you, I think, since the last time you've been on the show, and correct me if I'm wrong, but you're exclusive to Marvel now, right?
I am exclusive to Marvel.
So I know this has been talked about in the comic book press a little bit, but what led to the decision? Why did you decide to go to exclusive?
There's a lot that goes into a decision like that. I mean, I was getting a lot of work from both DC and Marvel, a lot of work that I was very proud of and really liked. Ultimately, it was something where, I really wanted to kind of dive into a set of books. So, I was doing, at one point, I was on 8 monthly titles. Now it's a little less, which is, thank God. But that was crazy. That was a lot. And so it really was important to me to find a way that I could kind of... have a little more depth in not that my work, hopefully my work already had some depth, but I wanted to be able to focus a little bit on some of the other titles and shrink down and so on. And, Marvel's offered me some really great stuff, and I like those guys, and, there it is.
That last issue of Red Lanterns where you wrote, I owe you one comic in the book and then sent it off. I think that was
what? They actually published it. They paid me for it.
Yeah, I know. Which is weird on that part.
That's DC for you.
That's an editor.
Doing that for 2 months coming up. I don't know if you know. That's pretty exciting.
Well, that's really exciting that you're going to be able to bring Swamp Thing over to Marvel and continue writing it.
Yeah, wouldn't that be nice? No,
that's not happening?
No.
So then what are we going to do, Charles?
Well, you have Swamp Thing until March. My final issue 40, was just solicited yesterday with a totally sweet cover with like a million different Swamp Things on it from all different eras of history.
Wow. So you've got,
like, try to trick us with a pretty cover.
A dinosaur.
What are we
going to
do?
I'll tell you the real thing is that secretly one of the characters in Wolverines is Swamp Thing, but you have to figure out which one.
Yeah, it's, I love a mystery.
Yeah, it's the green
you
one.
You also
with
like
the
to
mascot.
Rewrite history.
It's true.
So that's pretty exciting.
Yeah, I know, exactly.
Well, let's talk about some of the Marvel work that you are doing. So you mentioned Wolverines, Jordan mentioned Wolverines. That's coming up. That's obviously a big title. For those who don't know what's going on with it, what's happening?
Well, it's Marvel's first true weekly series that I
know.
So
just to be clear, you left DC to do a weekly
series. To do a weekly, yes. It's
right. Ironic.
Interesting.
When we decided to do Death of Wolverine, I say we, like I was involved in the very earliest decision.
Which a lot of us were really excited about.
And then it happened, and you're like, oh my God.
Yeah, I was surprised how much I didn't hate you after it.
Huh.
Like, I hated you all the way up until...
You're surprised how much you didn't hate
Yeah. That's basically like you got an A-plus from Pete.
Yeah. That's the close to love, is closest to love he's ever felt.
I'll take it.
Yeah.
If you're wondering how you did on Death of Wolverine, you did enough.
I did enough.
Exactly.
I get it. Yeah, that's very good. Yeah. So the Wolverine series, basically when we did Death of Wolverine, we wanted to see what we could pull out of it as far as new stories and new storylines. And one of the big things that we thought would be interesting was to look at the effect Wolverine being dead would have on some of his big villains and sort of some of the characters who are associated with him who are not X-Men, who maybe don't get as much focus. And so that's what Wolverine's really is. And the way it's kind of emerged is, you know, it's a weekly series. It's starting just in a couple weeks, beginning of January. It's very weird. I'm treating it almost like a weekly cartoon series, which I guess it, you know, like a TV cartoon. So each issue is sort of self-contained and has really strange things happening, and it's fun. I just wrote a guest appearance from G.W. Bridge today.
Wow.
Yeah.
Awesome. Now, one thing that I heard when the series started out was that Wolverine. You know, we were saying, how can you have a Wolverine title with everybody just reacting constantly to Wolverine not being there? And you teased a little bit that, well, that's not necessarily true, right?
Yeah, they all have amnesia, and they keep forgetting that he's dead.
Yeah.
And every issue, they go, where's Wolverine? He's what?
But he might,
still?
Somewhere
he's so
down
popular.
The road, there might be some form of Wolverine showing up, right?
Wolverine is very present in the series. I mean, it's called Wolverines, right? So it's about... You know, what does Lady Deathstrike do when the person she... Like, she got all of her weird cybernetic implants and stuff to kill Wolverine. And now Wolverine's dead, so she's like, wow, that was a lot of work. And now I... You know,
yeah, exactly.
What do I do
what
now?
Can I do?
Yeah, does she scratch her head like you just did? Because
probably.
That's a terrible idea.
That's not
for
a good
Lady
idea.
Deathstrike.
She'd be a mechanic or something.
I mean, it's... I've got one of those, like, you know, huge spreadsheets with a million plot lines. It's everything swirling all at the same time. Lots of new characters are introduced. You know, it's fun. It's weird. There's a bit with... I want to talk about Fin Fang Boom, which I told you about, but I won't.
Every single thing he tells me about this series is mental, and it makes me crack up. I love it.
Wow. Yeah. Yeah. So I need to get you that issue that I finished today.
Yeah.
You can get everybody that issue.
Yeah, I probably should.
Yeah, we'll start a group
email.
Look under your chairs.
Look under them. There's nothing there.
It says, I owe you one comic.
I mean, the thing that's been fun about Wolverines is that there's no real... I mean, other than getting it out weekly, making it a lot of fun and making it awesome, there's no specific, like, it has to be this or it has to be that, which means we can bring anybody we want into it, we can do really strange things, and as long as another one comes out the next week, everything seems to be
so
fine.
Obviously you're laying down a roadmap for the plot, but there's no, okay, we start here, and after 52 weeks, I'm saying 52 because, you know, that's
we
the DC
do.
Number.
That's a weird number.
That's still the number of weeks in a year. The DC doesn't own that.
All right. I mean, fair point.
We do. I mentioned that spreadsheet, right? So the first page of Wolverine's number one is directly queuing up the end of the first. I mean, you have to plot these things out a little bit. So we have kind of a season of it, I guess you would say, which is quite long. And so the first page is kind of ties directly into what happens in the last few pages. And so it's going to look like a cool, like we planned it all along, which we did. You know, I don't think you can jump into something as complicated as a weekly unless you... Really think about it and figure out what you're going to do.
Gotcha.
So,
yeah. Something that isn't weekly. And I think, so She-Hulk.
She-Hulk.
Is She-Hulk ending?
She-Hulk is ending its initial run of 12 issues, which is what I pitched and wrote with issue 12, which makes sense. It's 12 issue run.
Yeah, sure.
It's accurate.
Issue 11 is coming out quite soon, I think. And then issue 12 will follow. So it's,
your story checks out so far.
Yes.
Is there a 0.1 issue in there?
Yeah, you never know. You could write 100.1.
I love She-Hulk. It's a lot of fun. The art is great in every issue. Is it done at that point, or are we going to get a relaunch? What's going on?
What I will say to that is that I love She-Hulk, you love She-Hulk, a lot of people love She-Hulk, and some of the people who love She-Hulk happen to be very high up at Marvel Comics. Mm. So they...
Those are the people you want to talk to.
I know. I should call those guys up.
Yeah. So they have a show? We should get on their show.
Yeah, we probably should.
Do they have a podcast?
I think so.
Wow.
It's just only people at Marvel can listen to it.
Yeah. Wow.
So I think the hope is to find a way to do more. At some point, and that's, I guess, what I would say, right?
I would say that is accurate.
Okay.
Wow, right,
very cool.
Yeah.
And last thing, there's a little preview of what we're going to talk about later on, but we're going to go through our favorite series of the year, favorite comic books of the year.
Yeah.
And If you were not on the show, I mean this legitimately, one of my favorite series of the year is Letter 44.
Oh, thank you very much.
Which is your space political epic comic book. For those who aren't reading, you want to talk about that a little bit?
Sure. Basically, a U.S. president comes into office, and on his first day in office, he gets a letter from the previous president, which says, hey, man, good luck. Being president's a real pain in the ass. It's a tough gig. It's going to be especially hard for you because we found aliens in the asteroid belt 7 years ago and didn't tell anybody about it. So, surprise. That's your problem now. And P.S. we sent
I would have led with that.
Yeah. P.S. we sent up a mission a few years back to see what's there. They're getting close to finding out. They're getting close to the asteroid belt. So keep them safe if you can. So the story has two tracks. One's the president down on Earth, kind of a, you know, conspiracy West Wing thing. And then the other is the astronauts up in space getting closer to the asteroid belt and seeing what the deal is. And it reads sort of like, you know, House of Cards meets Alien or something like that.
My question about that is, since you started publishing, how many branches of our intelligence agencies have contacted you to find out?
Well, I can't say, can I?
Yeah.
I can't
Ooh,
say.
Ooh, nice.
Now, we were talking about this a little bit before the show, but you plan pretty far ahead with that particular book, right?
Yeah, it's planned to go 35 issues. I have written up to 20 so far, and... You know, so I kind of, it's a very, I tend to write an entire chunk of...
Wait, real quick, what order are they going to go in? Are they like 10, 11, 12, or are you going to mix it up a little
That's
bit?
True. I think it's going to go sequentially.
Oh,
I think
okay.
It's
gonna,
oh,
I
sequential.
Thought you would
okay.
start
know,
with 44 avant-garde. And then go back down.
So it's very, I mean, you read it, you said, so it's very, it's kind of very densely plotted, but in an entertaining way. I don't want to be off-putting about it, and... You know,
no, there's for those who aren't reading it, it is very intricate. There's a lot of stuff going on, but there's also a lot of sex and violence and crazy aliens at
yeah,
the same
and
time.
There's, you know, it always builds to payoffs. Like, things happen that make sense. It's not just random. But in order to really get the feel of it to work the way I want it to, I tend to write, you know, six issues at a time. So there are chunks of the year when I'm not working on Letter 44 at all, like right now, because I just delivered the third arc all in one bit. But then from sort of October to November, I was on triple my normal workload because I was getting all of those issues done at once. So that was a drag. but it all got done. I'm very proud of it.
When you're writing, how do you do it? Are you sitting in a room?
Well, I sit down.
Good start. But do you you write in chunks, and if you're doing, say, 8 monthly titles, are you just chunking those out over the course of a day, or is it like, today is my Red Lanterns day?
No, it's like that. So, yeah. Today I wrote Wolverine's 13. Which is a fun issue, I think. And so I knew what it was going to be. We kind of had talked about what it was going to be about. And so yesterday I sat down and broke it, which means just sort of saying page one is this, page two is this, page three, like an outline that's basically a sentence for each page or two pages. And then today I went to the coffee shop near my place and sat down and just wrote it. So
coffee shop.
Now,
coffee, you say.
Mm. You've got to do work on some amazing titles since it's the end of the year. Let's look back a little bit. What are some of your favorite moments you got to write in both either DC or Marvel?
Wow.
No other publishers.
Yeah.
Okay. Obviously, writing Death Wolverine was a gigantic... I mean, that I think, you know, those kind of gigs don't come around very often. So...
You sent a threatening letter to Hugh Jackman as well, right?
That's the comic, isn't it? Watch out, Hugh Jackman. This could be what happens to you.
Yeah, he should have never wronged you.
It was all just pictures of you pointing,
yep.
Doing the eye thing, uh-huh. And just pointing at the camera.
That was a big one, obviously. I just wrote my final Swamp Thing issue. I finished that on Sunday, and that was kind of emotional because that was my first big two gig. So finishing a run is always kind of it's sort of sad, but it's also kind of I don't want to say it's a relief, but it's also like, all right, I've finished that term paper or whatever. Like, I don't have to think about it anymore. I can kind of put it aside. So that was big, writing the first She-Hulk, because I knew that I would hopefully be able to really do something special with that. And so that was a big one. I don't know. There's been a lot. It's been a hell of a year. No doubt about it.
Congrats, man.
Somebody else who has had a hell of a year over there is Jordan D. White.
Over there?
Jordan
D. White. There he is over
cool.
there.
So you took on kind of a big thing recently.
Ukulele.
The ukulele. You've been practicing the ukulele.
For
you
years.
Were editing Star Wars comics
yes.
for Marvel Comics.
Yeah, we announced
that. That's kind
that,
of a big deal.
We announced it very early in the year, and we've been working all year on it. And actually, I just finished sending the first issue to the printer today.
Wow.
Do you think we'll be able to get one? I mean, there aren't going to be very many of them around.
Yeah. We've recently found out there's going to be over a million copies of this issue sold to stores.
Wow. So how many did you buy personally? Like 583,000 or how much?
I did. I put in a pre-order for 6.
Well, seriously, though, I mean, other than it being Star Wars, why do you think the people bought it in this bulk?
Well, I think that the fact that it's Star Wars and Marvel together is actually a big deal. I don't want to disrespect what Dark Horse did. They did a lot of really good comics, and I read a whole bunch of them.
A lot of really good comics.
Yeah. I read those for a long time.
Yeah, they were a lot of fun. But at the same time, I think, you know, especially right now, seeing that what Marvel has done in the movies and what Marvel has been doing in the comics, I feel like people are really excited about what Marvel can bring to Star Wars.
Do you think it's the time period, too, that it's set?
The fact that it's set in the time period it's in, it's set between the original Star Wars and Empire Strikes Back, so it's got the main cast all together at like the coolest moments, basically, of their...
No Lando, though.
It does have no Lando at that point.
Do you feel like that's racist?
Interesting. What a weird question.
I didn't think that, but now I guess I have to.
Yeah, there you go.
Would you consider the Wookiees a race?
Well, they are a race.
They're a race.
There are lots of races.
What are you saying?
What are you saying?
What is anybody saying?
Yeah, a lot of things are being said.
I don't know. I wish probably move off of that.
Yeah. Oh, no, I think you have a real grasp of it.
Well, cool. So you have the main Star Wars title that focuses on all of the characters, takes place between Star Wars and Empire. You have Star Wars Leia.
Leia is a miniseries that starts in March. It's going to be written by Mark Wade,
right?
And drawn by Terry Dodson. It's terrific. Focuses on Leia right after episode 4. And then in between those coming out, Vader, an ongoing Darth Vader series starts in February, written by Kieran Gillen. It's dark, man.
Really?
It's real dark.
It better be.
I can't wait.
And what's the time period for that one?
Again, they're all set right at the same time. So they can all interact with each other. They can all, like...
Oh, wow.
Now, this is not to start a fight or anything.
Please,
but what was the idea with making the Star Wars series ongoing, the Vader series ongoing, but the Leia series a miniseries?
Well, the Leia series is just an opportunity to tell a story about Leia. Like, it's not like we went, can we do a Leia comic? And they were like, yeah, but only 5 issues. No, it was just like we said, oh, we want to do a story. We want to do a Star Wars series that focuses on the good guys, a Vader series that focuses on him and the bad guys, and then we'll do miniseries as well. And the first one we wanted to do was Princess Leia. So it was already it was a miniseries before it was Leia, is basically what I'm saying.
Gotcha. Nice. Is there a chance, if it is successful, for it to become an
ongoing? Sure. Anything is possible.
All right, let's make it successful then.
Let's make it what?
Successful.
What
he said, successful, which I think is a great
Princess
Leia.
So,
for those of you listening at home, he is wearing his gold bikini right
now. Yeah, exactly.
So that's pretty exciting.
Someone send us a picture. Slave
now,
Pete,
you have one more series, actually, that's coming up, right?
For Star Wars?
Yeah.
Yeah, there's going to be a Kanan series. If those of you who are watching Rebels, which I highly recommend, it's super fun. Mm. It's on, what is it on? Disney XD. It's a super fun series. It takes place before the original Star Wars movie, in the early days of the Rebellion. It follows a bunch of characters, one of whom is former Jedi Kanan Jarrus. We're going to tell stories about his history. The first arc, is about how he survived the death of all the Jedi. What happened when Order 66 came down and all the clone troopers killed everybody. How did he live through that, and what happened to him? And it's pretty cool. It's pretty awesome.
Was he just not around any stormtroopers at that
time? That was it.
Because I feel like in the movies they were like, all the Jedi just happened to be standing next to a stormtrooper.
They were fighting a war, commanding the stormtroopers. They got turned on them, my friend.
Yeah, but one Jedi has got to be like, I'm going to miss the war. I'll catch up with them later.
Yep.
Oh, shit, I'm glad I slept in.
That's the true thing that happened to Obi-Wan. Everything else is a lie.
Yeah.
Now, at this point, so you have these 4 titles.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have further plans beyond
that?
Oh,
yeah.
Can I make a pitch for one right now?
Or you want to pitch a book right now?
Ooh, I love this.
I'd like to put my name in the ring.
Well,
I'm sort of known, I've sort of a sideline in green characters, right? Swamp Thing,
right.
She-Hulk, right?
Right.
So I'm thinking Yaddle. Yaddle? Okay. You guys know Yaddle?
Yes.
Yaddle?
Wait, who's Yaddle?
Oh, my God. Yaddle's the best. Have you seen Phantom Menace?
Yeah. Sure.
Of course. Everybody has. One of the best ones.
Everybody has. Mm-hmm.
So there's those awesome Jedi Council scenes when all, like, there's the Q-tip dude and stuff like that.
Uh-huh.
Yaddle is the Lady Yoda.
Dude. Yeah, female of the Yoda species.
Her name's Yaddle?
Yes, it's Yaddle. There was a figure and everything.
Right. Yeah.
Jeez.
He's right
They made figures for pretty much everybody.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. You could read a Watto series. I would read a Watto series.
You would read a series about Watto?
I loved Watto.
An ongoing series or a
If you don't like Watto, you're an anti-Semite. That's all I'm saying.
Wow. What is all this it's commentary?
Is the first night of Hanukkah.
He's a slave
you
owner.
You are fired up today, man.
He's a slave owner, and he gambles. He has chance cubes.
Yeah. He does have chance cubes, and he
gets
cheated.
To be a pod racer, Adi?
Yeah, put to the door. Okay, Adi.
Yeah, he has so many great, iconic lines.
Yeah, okay,
but what
Adi.
A likable right, well,
apparently,
he's got more than Yattle. I don't think Yattle says a word, which means, to me, open field.
It's a real opportunity for
Oh, yeah, you could create a whole new syntax for her, just like Yoda has. Yeah.
Maybe Yoda is the only one who talks like that.
Yeah.
And she's like, that's stupid. Come on,
Yoda,
man,
what's
stupid.
Your problem?
You're discrediting our people.
I wasn't originally
go to school.
Sold, but now you've got somebody just nagging Yoda, being like, why do you talk like that? I'm in. I'm in.
Pete, what series would you want to see from the Star Wars universe?
Definitely Boba Fett.
A Boba Fett series.
Yep.
Yeah.
Wow, that's
Boba Fett's cool, dude.
Yeah.
No, Boba Fett is not cool.
Boba Fett is not cool.
Boba Fett was barely cool in the first three movies, and then in the he was ruined in the prequels.
What about that when he was riding a dinosaur that one time?
What about when he just got knocked into a pit by an accident?
Hey, speaking of which, I would love to read a Sarlacc pit.
Oh, an ongoing
comic book. I think that would be fantastic.
Yep. Inside the pit.
Guys. Yeah, like, well, yeah, who's like, what's he thinking?
I want a talk show series on television. Who's hanging in the Sarlacc pit? Because it takes a while to get digested. Thousand years.
Wait, what's the actual name of the Sarlacc pit?
The Sarlacc pit.
Pit of Carcoon. Isn't that it?
Yeah.
Oh,
there you go.
That's what you mean.
Thanks.
Busted.
Well, yeah, I was busted on that one.
Yeah.
So are there? So you have the stuff set between Star Wars and Empire Strikes Back. Are there further plans beyond that?
Yes, we've got a lot of plans. And again, I've gone out to San Francisco a few times to meet with Lucasfilm. We've got plans to go out there again and discuss plans even further. I'm just saying because it's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
God, you are just an asshole.
He's relentless. He's a real.
He's giving it to me. That's fine. I don't care. I got to go see actual live Star Wars props in
their
warehouse.
Did you meet Yaddle? Did you get to meet Yaddle? What's he really like?
Oh, Yaddle was very friendly. No. Most of the puppets, they don't have a lot of them because they make them out of, what do you call it?
Potato chips.
Yeah, potato chips. They make them out of...
Over the years, people got hungry and they ate Sai Snoodles.
Sai Snoodles is a great lunch.
But that's
the thing. I have the Sai Snoodles.
The stuff they make the puppets out of, in order to make it move better, it doesn't last. So the puppets don't really last. They had Max Rebo in the thing and he was like... disgusting. He was like falling apart, like melting.
On hard
was he like, kill me?
Yes, that was what happened.
No, he's a jazz guy or a jizz guy. That's what it is. They play jizz, right?
Yeah. What?
Excuse me?
That's the music they play.
Jizz?
They play jizz.
There was apparently a book in the now not canonical extended universe that called their style of music
jizz.
Jizz.
Wow, that seems
like
a real
jazz, but not exactly.
Kind of like
great.
That.
Some friends of mine developed an actual card game version of Sabaat, I think it's called. The game that Han Solo plays.
Yeah, that's what he plays, supposedly, yeah.
Based
on what?
Based on in one of the books.
Oh, it was a book. Okay, I was going to say, they don't show him ever play
in the movie, but in one of the books, someone went through a painstaking description of what the actual rules of the game are.
You know what always kind of annoyed me, and this is really geeky and dumb? The chessboard thing in the Millennium Falcon.
Yeah.
That they act like it's like this strategic game, but it just looks like Street Fighter on a chessboard for no reason. Like I'm like, what is the strategy? Punch that guy.
Yeah. I want to know the day when Han Solo is like, you know what? Let's put in the chessboard. I'm a smuggler, but I might bring
probably
a woman
Chewie
back
wanted.
Here. I want to show.
It was for Chewie.
Yeah, it was for Chewie.
Because he was when we like, let the Wookiee have his chessboard.
Exactly.
That makes sense.
Yeah. But again, it's
Jordan,
not
you
just...
had a point before we derailed you with
did
the...
I?
Yeah, you were talking
about... Yeah, you were going to tell us... You're going to tell us you guys are planning Force Awakens.
Yes. Well, I wasn't going to tell you the plan, unfortunately. But yes, we have all sorts of things planned out, and we've got more stuff. We actually had a Marvel summit.
Yeah. Tell
like
us
a week
stuff
ago.
From that.
I'll tell you everything we talked about there.
Please.
Yeah. One of the nights that it was happening, we had a Star Wars dinner, and we went out, and we...
Did you? Sorry.
Came up with an amazing.
You had a
story.
Star Wars dinner. Did you guys dress in robes?
Yeah. We all.
What does that mean? A Star Wars dinner?
As in, me, Jason Aaron, Kieran Gillen, C.B. Sobolski all went out, and we talked about Star Wars and the series and what we're going to do next year.
Did you drink blue milk?
Yeah. Of course, naturally. Right, we went to the Blue Milk Bar.
Oh. Very cool. Great.
What was, like, some really funny, amazing, nerdy conversations that you all had?
At the retreat?
They're all spoilery. Like, I can't tell you
everything we talked
about? Yeah, unfortunately.
Cool.
It's cool, though. That's a fun... I mean, I don't think it's a surprise, but that's a pretty fun room, right? Like, the talent that's in
there. Yeah,
we know. You know, everyone thinks that's fun. No, like, another Marvel retreat.
Surprise. Yeah.
Hanging out with these idiots.
They're snoozes. You don't want to do that, man.
Oh, man. They're snoozes.
Well, very cool. When can people check out the Star Wars comics? When are they hitting?
First issue of Star Wars hits on the, I believe, the second Wednesday of the new year. Oh, not counting the first. So maybe like the 15th, I think, of January would be.
All right, you're a good editor. Okay, let's let's move on with our next section, which we like to call the stack.
Yeah!
And in the stack today, we're going to talk about some of our favorite comics of the year.
Yep.
We're going to go to bat for them. Normally we talk about weekly comics. There are some fantastic weekly comics that came out this week.
Yeah.
Definitely check out all of those. But let's talk about our favorite stuff of the year.
Pete,
you want to kick it off?
Well, first, I want to, while we have these amazing guests here, I would just like to quickly talk about some of the amazing books that they worked on. I would like to say Thunderbolts that Charles wrote was one of my favorites of the year.
Thank you very much. Nice.
Also, Deadpool continues to be amazing, so thank you for that. Even though right now it blows, but currently it's going to get better.
Wow.
But Jordan, this last year was pretty
Jordan
amazing.
Is the editor on Deadpool.
Yes. Yeah. I just don't like the hippy-dippy Deadpool that's in touch with his feelings and doesn't kill people. I think it's bullshit.
Pete, it's part of a crossover, man.
Yeah, he got inverted. What would inverted Pete? Inverted Pete loves it.
Yeah, I'm sure. Exactly. Inverted Pete, yeah. But we're not dealing
with
inverted.
He's been inverted so many times. We don't know which way.
I don't know.
What would he be? Etep?
Yeah.
Etep?
Yeah, exactly. You wouldn't like him when he's sad.
Yeah, you'd be the Pete's Pete.
Mm. Ah.
Weird.
Pete's
All right,
Pete.
Stop it. All right, so some of my favorites of the year. I'm going to have to say Moon Knight is at the top of my list.
Great.
Really amazing. Also, Southern Bastards.
Yeah. We can talk about that.
You don't need to read a list.
Okay. Well, I just think that Moon Knight is one of those things where doesn't get, you know, it kind of is awesome for a little bit and then goes away and sucks for a while. And Warren Ellis did an amazing job of really making it fantastic. And the art was unbelievable.
For those of you who didn't read it, all of Warren Ellis's issues, at least, were all done in one mystery issues. And they were crazy, and they were violent.
And so different
each
from
one
each
had
other.
A very different structure to the panels.
Yeah.
Was the art by, was it Declan Shalvey?
Yep, Declan Shalvey.
Yeah, Declan Shalvey with colors by Jordi Belair. Am I wrong about that?
Very cool.
Yeah, and it's a gorgeous-looking book. Definitely pick up that volume. It was incredible.
And I got to say, Brian Wood took the book over, and it's great. It's continuing the run. I really like it still.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I feel like a lot of people maybe got scared off because it was so short, Warren Ellis' run. But yeah, it is a great book.
Cool.
Yeah.
What was the second one you mentioned, Pete?
Southern Bastards.
Yeah. Southern Bastards.
Also a
fantastic book, yeah.
What did you like about the book, Charles?
I just liked that it was... I felt like it was very keenly observed. You know, I think, you know, both Jasons are from the South, and, you know, anytime you get a book that seems to be, you know, so evocative of any location, it could be anything, but this happened to be what they know, and it just felt very real, and like they weren't pulling any punches, and you know, I'm not going to spoil it here, but the way the fourth issue ends is really
crazy.
That was so I think if we were having a list of most messed up moments of the year, that would definitely make it. It's an incredible moment, and I love what they've been doing with the current arc as well. They basically pivoted the point of view character, and it completely works, and it's still completely fascinating.
Yeah, and it's amazing. He took a character that was the villain and has put us in his head a little bit, and it's great. The issue just came out this past week, and it's fantastic.
So good.
Jason Aaron's no joke. Neither is Jason Latour. Neither one of them.
I love Jason Latour's art. I love his, and he's actually a great writer as well. He took over
Wolverine the X-Men
for the Winter Soldier back in the day, and it was such a short run, but it was very good.
You guys want an exclusive?
Yeah.
One of the creators of that comic dies in issue 40 of Deadpool.
Huh.
Wait, like for real?
One of
in the Marvel universe for real?
Oh wow!
Oh, shit. Wow! Like, who could it be?
Like they call him by his real name and then he dies?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, wow.
Very gorily.
Wow.
That's is Jason Aaron?
I'm not going to tell you.
One I think it's Jason Latour.
It's
I hope it
one is. Of the two.
Ah. One of the two Jasons.
It's someone named Jason.
Great.
Oh, man.
Big yes. reveal. That's an exclusive, guys. You can take that out to the there comic book press. Exclusive announced here.
You got to tell your Newsaramas, your CBRs.
Oh, those guys are late to the game again.
Yeah. Well, it depends.
Comic Book Club scoops them again.
Well, depends on when we actually post this. So
that's a great point.
It's going to be a couple of
weeks. It's going to go up in March 2016. So,
Pete, what else you got on that list?
I got Wonder Woman. To give DC a little love, Wonder Woman was start to finish amazing with that Brian Azzarello and Cliff Chang on that series. They did such an amazing job. And I loved how Wonder Woman looked and acted. And just I felt like it was such a powerful, cool way to do Wonder Woman. And it was sad. It's sad to see it go. But I really, really loved it.
For me, it really was more. There's no slagging off the author at all. But for me, it was all about Cliff Chiang's visuals and designs of the characters.
He's brilliant. Absolutely brilliant.
Incredible. Yeah. For those of you who didn't read it, he completely re-envisioned, well, both of them did together, but they completely re-envisioned the Greek pantheon. So all of them looked different. All of them felt different, very modern, very fresh. It was really
and it was amazing how, like, even though some of the people look cartoony, it was still so scary. Like, that Candle Kid fucking freaks me out,
Hades?
Man.
Hades?
Hades? Yeah.
And like, the Candle Kid is what his name in the comic.
The Candle Kid.
The Candle Kid, like, I have nightmares about
Candle
that guy.
Kid. You do have nightmares?
Yeah.
Wow. You know, he rules in hell, so you will meet him eventually.
Wow. Cool.
Don't say that.
Justin, I'm curious to hear one of your picks.
I was a big fan of a book that came out this week, Afterlife with Archie. I've been a really big fan of.
Archie made some moves this year.
Making some big moves. That's been a great book. Just the art has been amazing for that. Frank Avila on that. Great horror art. And the stories have been great as well. And it feels like something that seemed like sort of a joke is being fleshed out into truly a whole world. I think this is going to be a very... this title will have a long life.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy. I think we even talked about this 1 year ago, but how much Archie has done to make strides into the mainstream and successfully... And almost lacking some of the bigger publishers at this point. You know,
know what it is? They're being really ballsy with their characters.
Yeah.
They don't care
taking
about
risks.
I mean, these are gigantic risks. I mean, you make, you know, some of the things they've done, and I think it's phenomenal. It's really, they deserve it, I think.
So there was the news that came out just this week that Mark Waid and Fiona Staples are relaunching Archie with a new number one, new look, new modern era. What did you guys think about that?
That sounds really neat. I mean, I don't read Archie like super regularly, but I keep an eye on it because my wife reads all the books.
Gotta keep an eye on Archie. Gotta keep an eye on Archie.
I read Savage Dragon all the time.
Yeah, you do.
But my wife reads Archie every month, every issue that comes out of all the Riverdale characters. Aww. So I kind of see what's going on, and I'm like, oh, that's fun. And I read Afterlife. I think this could be really cool. I mean, it's definitely, obviously, hugely risky. For a lot of people, the idea of Archie is very much associated with that look and that feel. So
it is. It is ballsy.
So,
Well, I mean, if you're talking about ballsy, I don't know if you guys saw the preview of the first page of Archie number one, drawn by Fiona Staples. Yeah. But it's actually Jughead giving birth to a hamburger, pretty graphically.
That's edgy. And that's
on a television screen, right?
Yeah,
straight out of Saga. Crossover.
Totally. What else you got, Justin?
And I would say this, whether or not you were here, Charles, Swamp Thing has been one of my favorite books of the year. Just great... world building galore. I love the additional in addition to green, red, rot, gray. We're adding a couple more and more.
Yeah, well, the machines are the big threat right now.
Yeah, which is great. And the issue that took place in the future, I thought was fantastic.
Thank you very
as
much.
Well, just a great series.
Get off his dick, man.
Well, okay. and I just love, my other favorite comic was Charles' just personality.
That's such a great comic.
Yeah,
one of my favorite comics this year, if I might jump in for a moment, Superior Foes of Spider-Man. I don't know if you guys read that.
That's a lot of fun. Great.
Wrapped up his run. You were reading the book?
I read up to, when did I, 14 or 15? When did it stop?
It just ended this
17? Like, so I'm pretty close to the end, but I thought it was... Yeah, great.
So great.
Very funny.
It's Yeah, it's a really hilarious book. It started for me, like, I almost wanted to pick Hawkeye, but Hawkeye, so consistently great. Of course, that's the best comic of the year. Mm-hmm. But it started off feeling like, oh, let's do something like Hawkeye, but for Spider-Man's villains. But it so quickly, through Nick Spencer, forged its own path.
Yeah.
It's the most ridiculous, twisty crime thriller mystery set in the Marvel Universe maybe ever. And it's just... It's great. It delved into the character of Boomerang and gave him a new life.
It's just wonderful. The voice of all of the voice of the series is so fun, and it's Boomerang, and he's just a dick. Like, he is an unabashed dick. I guess I won't spoil it since you haven't read it yet, but the last couple issues, he is just a bad person.
Yeah, it's terrible, and the he's way that it keeps... I don't know, were you reading the book,
Jim? Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm one...
Yeah, go get another beer. We'll
I'm one issue away from the ending of it as well. It's funny because I didn't, you know, obviously I don't read the solicits or anything. I don't know, I'm lying. I didn't realize there was an issue left. So at the end of the second left issue, he like goes to like pitch baseball, and I was like, oh, that's a weird ending. All right. Yeah. I thought that was it. I was like, hey, he's happy. He's pitching baseball.
Well, keep reading. It doesn't get less weird.
Yeah. But it's just, it keeps looping in on itself over and over again, and it's just so much fun to read.
Oh, yeah, all the plans, and it's like, but then the real plan was this, and the real plan of that was this. That's crazy.
And that's what I feel like so many comics make these like D-level villains, and they're like, they're just dumb. And this, I feel like, it could have been that, but instead he made them dumb, and they make so many mistakes, and they make the same mistakes again, all in very fun, unique ways. It's just
He took all of these D-list Spider-Man villains and made them all really interesting and enjoyable to the point that you could use them in any other title, and they suddenly have their own personality.
It's tough, though, because they are, on some level, kind of sympathetic in this, and it would be very difficult, I think, to transfer that. Like, you get, for example, Shocker in this, right?
Yeah.
Like, you kind of feel bad. He's so pathetic, and
he is bad, but I will say, like, that only makes me like the character more in other books, where it's like, he just seems like he's trying so hard, and he's so bad.
Yeah. I will tell you, this is why I think this title has been so influential in a way. There is one character, I won't say where or anything because it's a little bit of a spoiler and it's a fun surprise, but one of the characters in Superior Spider-Man shows up in an upcoming Marvel comic in a really fun, interesting way, and there's no reason that character ever would have showed up before this comic book, which I just think that's really cool.
Yeah.
Another one we've talked about quite a bit on the show, Adventure Time.
I think one of my absolute favorites.
It's great. I have not watched nearly as much of the Adventure Time TV show as you have.
I've watched all of them.
Legitimately, I started with the comic.
Wow.
So I barely knew what I was talking about when I got into it, but it is hilarious. It's dense with its jokes. And as we talked about with the last arc, it actually gets really heartfelt as well.
Well, and it fleshes out the world of the TV show in a great way, especially when the TV show's, this past season anyway, has been sort of, you never know when it's going to come out, and like, you don't get a new episode for many months, and then 4 came out the week of Thanksgiving, sort of oddly.
Which was 5 months. You have more time to watch TV, so they're like, here you go.
Yeah, sort of. Oh, you're at home with your family and being like, hey, everybody, let's put on some cartoons. I'm an adult who just got married. That's not the coolest movie. So it's hard to catch up with them. But the comic book really just fleshes out in such a great way and right in the voice of the show. It's very good.
Cool. Last one, I just wanted to mention a DC comic, actually, as well, that I've been reading pretty consistently, Batman Eternal.
I think
is one of the best things that DC has coming out, if not the best thing. It's very hard, as I don't know how much you can speak to this, but it's hard, I think, to make a weekly comic work just because of the frequency, keeping up the pace, making every issue matter. And I won't say that every single issue of Batman Eternal has knocked it out of the park, but it's done it really consistently.
Yeah.
And I think it's because of that laser focus on Batman, on Bruce Wayne, on breaking him down. And more than anything, I think we talked about this back with the first issue, but that probably has one of the best first pages of any comic ever. Hmm. If you didn't read it, it opens with Gotham City consumed in flames, Bruce Wayne, his mask off, tied up to the bat signal with a bat carved onto his chest, and somebody off screen being like, well, you lost, Bruce. You lost it. You lost everything. And so far, 30-something issues in, you still have no idea who that is, and it's just a great mystery. So it's great.
Very good. Yeah. That's it. A couple more from me. Iron Fist is one of my absolute favorites this year. The Kari Andrews book. Writing and drawing it, and it's just so good. The art is so good. The writing is so good, and it's amazing.
Also, I would like to mention we talk about Batman Eternal, but Scott Snyder's Batman continues to be unbelievably amazing. Mm-hmm. With Saga, we mentioned a couple times, and also Punisher has been amazing this year.
Can I throw one in?
Yeah
please.
Stray Bullets. Stray Bullets came back this year. They put out a giant book of the entire series so far and started over with a new number one. It is so good. It is such an amazing crime series. Every issue, I love it. Every issue that comes out, I'm just like, oh my God, I can't wait to read it. It's so intense and so good. It's not one, if you don't know the series, it's not one story that goes all the way through. It's Stray Bullets. It all takes place in the same world, and all the stories interconnect with each other. But sometimes you'll get just a one-off. Sometimes you'll get an arc of a couple issues following a character. And there's one character that's been pretty regularly showing up throughout the entire thing. But it might be the best crime comic I've ever read. It's amazing. It's so good. Highly recommended.
Nice.
Awesome. Cool. Charles, any you want to add?
Yeah. Southern Bastards, we talked about Saga. I think it's kind of a bummer how people are like, well, of course, Saga. Saga's, it's unbelievable how fantastic it continues to be and consistent it continues to be.
And they also scared us in the middle of it where I thought, like, it was going to be bad.
Nope. Yeah, but it was good.
Yeah, it was so good.
If you ever want to upset Pete, make a marriage in danger.
Yeah.
He will freak out. Yeah. Oh.
All right. Well, okay. I'll keep that in mind.
You're not going to break up.
He just made a choice right there. Somebody just made a choice that is going to make you so mad, and you got to witness it.
There's a big plot point in one of the things that I write that speaks directly to that.
Holy shit, Pete. Did you see it? It's like looking into your future and being
that's
mad.
Crazy. Wolverine's 15 to 17 is finally going to break up Sabretooth and Dakin.
Yes. They have a lot going on.
It's Dakin.
I say Dakin too, but a lot of people say Dakin.
I say Dakin.
Well,
I say Dakin.
My take on it, I think it's Japanese, and my understanding of Japanese Dakin. Would be Dakin. That it would be Dakin. Yeah.
Anyway. Well, because he's a boat.
He still wasn't
Dakin here.
He still wasn't good enough.
You know, that's how you kill Punisher. Wow.
Wicked and the Divine. Enjoyed that very much.
Yeah.
Did you guys read Sex Criminals this week?
Yeah, I was just going to say.
There was a parody of Wicked and Divine in Sex Criminals this week, which was the most amazing crossover I've ever seen.
The Lickhead and the Divine, I believe, is the title.
It was insane.
Very funny. When I saw the blonde, I forget, the blonde character is... who is the main...
Lucifer?
Oh, Lucifer, yeah. Yeah. I saw it on the panel. I was like, that's weird. That looks just like Lucifer from from Wicked and Divine. And then I was like, wow, ballsy move.
Yeah, literally.
Literally. Speaking of funny, God Hates Astronauts. I love that comic very much.
So silly. So much
Ryan
fun.
Ryan Brown and his bizarre animal freaks that he likes to draw.
Nailbiter. I don't know if you're reading that.
Nailbiter's great.
Been great.
Joshua Williamson, in general, has been on a roll this year. I don't know if you guys are reading Birthright.
Yeah.
Birthright. I like
awesome. Things. Yeah.
So Alex good. Brought that in. This, I liked, hadn't read I, it before. You know, it's very
I,
good.
I've been lucky. I read, you know, Witches, right? Scott Snyder's creator. I've gotten to read ahead in that, which is nice. And it's really strong. That's really, really strong. So all
cool.
It's really, really good.
That's great.
Yeah. Overall, good year for comics.
Great year for comics.
Yeah, really good.
Yeah, we did it. Hooray!
Yeah.
Now it's time for you guys to do it. And what I mean is your audience questions.
Yeah. Whoop, whoop. So,
all right, so I'm going to go out to you guys. If you have audience questions about anything geeky, anything for our amazing panelists over here, anything for us in general, raise your hand, and you will get some free comics. All you have to do is raise your hand. You, sir, right back there. Why don't I come to you? All right. What's your name, sir?
It's Rolando.
Hey, Rolando. How's it
Rolando?
Going?
It's going
Rolando.
Great. It's going great.
Good. Ask your question.
Okay, cool. So
I'm not going to interrupt you.
Yeah. So
take your time.
Who would you... what comic book character would you most like to spend New Year's Eve with?
New Year's Eve!
Who do you want to spooch?
Wow.
New Year's Eve doesn't always have to be kissing.
It's always about kissing.
Oh.
When's your album dropping?
Soon. Tonight. This is the recording of it. Please buy it on iTunes.
It's a tough one.
New Year's Eve. Mm-hmm. Pete, do you have an answer?
I'm thinking.
But what are you looking for on a New Year's Eve, buddy?
I've got mine. I mean, Tony Stark. I bet he throws a hell of a bash.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. You want to
Wait, are you talking about Tony Stark or Superior Tony Stark?
Oh. I'm talking about...
Superior probably throws a better bash.
It's probably even pre-Demon in a Bottle, Tony Stark is probably what I'm talking about.
Oh, okay. So it's not like evil but still drunk.
Yes, not evil, but very drunk.
Nice. All right, good choice.
That's not really my vibe. Who's like a cool geeky character who'd want to like play board games on the air?
Dupe,
sure. No, Dupe gets
you
a little
hear
weird.
What you don't understand what he's saying. Peter Parker.
See, that's the thing. I keep thinking of downsides. Peter Parker would be awesome, except that he will cancel on you and go.
Yeah,
he'd cancel on you, and then New Year's Eve would get attacked.
He wouldn't even cancel. He just wouldn't show up because right. he'd be some terrible thing would happen.
You'd spend the whole night waiting for him.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, well, but he'd run in at the last moment and kiss you. Don't worry about it.
You could be in one of Arcade's Murder Worlds.
Oh, that sounds great.
Arcade. That's like a fun board game where you're a piece.
Yeah.
What about you, Justin?
I mean, the first answer was Silver Sable.
Classic Justin move.
Would love to. I mean, she's got a whole
she's dead.
Kingdom. She has recently perished. That's a
but
bummer.
Not that long ago.
Body's still fresh.
That's not terrible. How normal people think of the world. So that's one answer.
Oh, you know what? Amadeus Cho.
Amadeus Cho?
He would be totally. Although he would use his powers to beat me.
Yeah, you want
to
play a board game against him? And he's
really
not
focused. Are you doing board games for New Year's? Is that what you're doing?
I mean,
you really pushing
I don't
it.
Know. Last year for New Year's Eve, I did nothing. New Year's Day, I watched all the Star Wars movies in a row.
Cool.
Sweet.
So that was fun.
Wait, even the shitty ones or just the classic?
There are no shitty ones.
Wow. What? Nice.
Are you serious?
You're wrong.
What a Star Wars editor's answer that is.
Oh, that makes me so nervous about this series.
Pete, New Year's?
Wait, real quick. When are you guys doing the Jar Jar comic?
I have a Jar Jar pitch in
don't
the chamber.
Don't you dare.
In the
don't
chamber.
You dare.
It is really good. I can't
no,
tell
really?
It.
Don't.
I do. It's awesome. Don't. I'll tell you later.
Unless he dies in
it. Is it yours or did somebody give it to you?
No, it's mine.
Oh, okay. Well, no wonder it's awesome.
It's real good.
I'm sure it is. Sure, it's great.
I mean, obviously, my, Sable is a Psylocke, but I feel like Beast would be a good, fun guy who would know about,
Beast?
Yeah, Beast would know,
So I'm sorry, just to be clear, you guys want to hang out with Silver Sable and Psylocke, two women you're definitely not going to hook up with.
Don't you say that.
Is Cypher, so we could talk about languages all night.
Yeah. That's
good. Yeah, you know what? Now that you've said that, though, like young Beast and young like Iceman from the all new X-Men, they would be fun to hang out with.
Yeah, that would be a good time. All new X-Men in general.
Yeah,
they'd be like, well, let's go see the ball drop.
Yeah,
let's go play baseball.
Gee whiz,
we're from the 1950s, but not really.
50s, 60s,
I don't know, 60s,
wait,
but also not really.
You want to go to Times Square with the X-Men?
Sure.
No way, man.
Risky. Is that a bad choice?
Yeah, well, first off, if you're in Times Square, you have to pee in the group of all the people.
Yeah.
So that's
also snipers.
Oh, you said B, and I heard P, and I was like,
this
I don't get it.
Made me say, what about Catwoman? There's so many like awesome choices. Catwoman.
Yeah.
I mean, Batman would probably be terrifying, but it would be interesting.
You wanted like a ride along with
Happy New Year's Eve.
Jesus. Yes, that'd be amazing.
Yeah, that'd be
good. Never forget it. You would never forget it.
Sure.
Holy shit,
that's a great
you might
point.
Die.
All the possibilities.
Zelvin, should all the acquaintances be forgot?
Zelvin, have you been drinking like all day?
Yes.
I think he has. Actually.
I told you
holiday
that.
Party.
I told you I have been before the show. Cool. Let's get another question. Yes, you, sir, right over there. I'm coming over to you. Please ask us who we would like to spend Christmas with. What's your name,
you
sir?
Right, Batman here.
Ron.
Hey, Ron, what's your question?
My question is, what would be the worst Marvel character for Charles to represent in his practice?
Nice. Legal question.
Yeah.
Worst character to represent in a court of law.
Probably Deadpool, right? He would be like all over the place.
Well, most villains, right?
No. I mean, honestly, the worst character to represent is the brokest character. So right now I'm trying to think of the brokest character.
Wow.
The bills have to get paid, you know? I mean, D-Man, Frogman, any of those guys. Any of the guys who never pull off a robbery.
You think
they're just broke.
You think you could prove insanity for Deadpool?
It depends on the era, you know. If I could present those comics with the three voices talking all the time, the Daniel Way stuff, that'd be easy.
You're putting comics into evidence?
Sure. Yeah, Dan Slott did it in his She-Hulk run. Why not?
No, it makes sense.
I mean, it does it?
No, it doesn't make sense in our lives and world.
Yes. I mean, anybody can prove anybody anything. That's what lawyers
You think
are
good you get
at.
The Punisher off?
Can you rephrase that, please?
Yeah.
Nice. No, you know what I meant.
Acquit.
Could you acquit the Punisher? Yeah. Could the Punisher acquit it? Well, it depends on what he's done. If it's like someone who presents, you know, hyper details of everything he's ever done, then that'd be a tough call. But if it's some, like, you know, random little case where maybe he did it, maybe he didn't, it's a little easier.
He would, like, nice. Demand to take the stand and be like, yeah, I killed them all.
Yeah, he would.
Well, he would probably murder the judge because the judge would be obviously corrupt, so that would start there. The lawyers would go
Wait,
soon
real
after.
Quick, real world spoiler, are most judges corrupt?
In the Marvel Universe, I think it's inevitable.
Nice right. save. Nice
they're
save.
They're sons of the serpent.
Yeah, there
yes,
you go.
That's true.
Yeah,
that's
would
true.
You be
true.
Nervous that the Punisher would kill you?
He's a loose cannon, man.
Yeah, he is.
Literally has a loose cannon.
Yes, he does. Yeah. It's rattling around in the back of his van.
He is
very dangerous.
It's terrifying. Cool. We can take one more question. Anybody
Two more.
Raise your hand. Yes, you, ma'am, right over there. All right. What's your name, ma'am?
Noel.
All right, Noel, what's your question?
Hi,
Noel.
What was your favorite comic book movie of the year?
How many were there?
Well, let's see.
There were a lot.
Amazing Spider-Man 2.
Yep.
That's one.
Of course, that's at the top of everyone's list.
Captain America 2.
Guardians of the Galaxy.
Guardians of the Galaxy.
Was Thor 2
Sin
this
City?
Year?
What?
Sin City 2.
Thor 2 was this
Thor
year
2?
As well?
No, Thor 2 was last November.
Was it really?
Yeah, well, let's not forget Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Right, of course. Yeah. Let's not forget that. Do we count Transformers? There's been
Transformers. Transformers happened.
That's a toy.
All right, so there you go. Of those three movies,
did we say Guardians?
We did. Yeah.
Guardians was said.
Big Hero 6.
Big Hero 6 counts.
Big Hero 6, that should count.
Snowpiercer.
Snowpiercer. Now, see, that actually might.
You just changed
Wait,
the game.
Wait, what did you say?
You did. The game has been
Snowpiercer. What about Birdman? Ooh. Birdman?
Birdman.
That's not a comic.
It's not a comic.
But it's a superhero movie.
No, but she asked comic.
Comic.
Okay.
That's why Snowpiercer counts.
All right, I'm going with Captain America 2.
Wow.
Great. Yep, great movie.
I mean, that's what's tough is I don't want to, like, Captain America 2 is great, but it's just I don't.
They were all such different movies. I know that's kind of a non-answer, but all of them were actually really good, except Amazing Spider-Man 2.
Sin City 2, you thought was awesome?
I didn't see that.
Wow.
Or Ninja Turtles.
Oh, Ninja Turtles, don't see ever.
All right, cool. I did kind of love Snowpiercer. Of the two Chris Evans movies,
I was
going
to pick Guardians far and away,
really
going, Guardians is amazing. But as soon as you said Snowpiercer,
Snowpiercer for me was the richest experience
in the
theater.
We're talking about a fucking train, right?
It doesn't go through time.
He has some alternate theories about it.
You
got to
see it. It's intense. I walked out of that movie.
It sounds like such a fucking shitty premise.
Pete, listen to me.
In the future, we all live on a train?
It's great.
It's post-apocalypse, my friend.
Right, but like
Pete,
a train?
I walked out of that movie literally going, we need to tear society down and kill everyone.
Oh, really?
Is me walking out of Snowpiercer.
As opposed to every other movie. Yeah,
yes.
Exactly.
That's how I felt after I read the first issue of Scarlet.
I'll tell you what. The that Chris Evans monologue.
Oh, Days of Future Past.
Oh, right.
Yeah,
X-Men.
Yeah. No,
not forget about that.
Producer.
Yeah, and 300 Rise of an Empire, Hercules.
That doesn't. I guess
no, that was a comic book.
That was a comic book. Yeah, that's what I've got. I've got Guardians, Cap. Yeah, the only ones were Days of Future Past and 300 and Hercules.
All right, we have to move on. But real quick, anybody else? Favorite
Snowpiercer was my. Snowpiercer was amazing.
Yeah. Guardians. No one's going to say Guardians.
I would say Guardians.
Right, that'd be my second, and then probably Days of Future Past, and then Cap.
Yeah.
Nice.
I've seen Guardians like twice since I've seen it in the theater.
Big Hero 6 was pretty great as well. Really fun. Really
it was
enjoyable.
Good, yeah.
Yeah, it was good. All right, and that's it for your audience questions. Guys, very quickly, we are going to go to the Week in Geek. End of the Week in Geek, we're going to talk about our favorite TV shows of the year. Because there are a bunch of different comic book TV shows.
It was a great year for TV shows.
It was. I am just going to go to bat very briefly, say The Flash was not just my favorite comic book TV show of the year, it was my favorite TV show of the year.
Regular TV show? Above TMZ?
Above TMZ, above all the Real Housewives shows.
Wow. Bullshit.
Above anything on HGTV.
What about QVC?
No, I mean, like, right below that.
Okay.
The Flash is incredible. I don't know if you guys have been watching it, but...
I've been watching it and catching up and saying obnoxious things about it on Twitter.
Yeah.
You have.
Jordan's actually pretty down on Flash.
You're, like, picking fights on Twitter.
What I love about The Flash is how positive it is. And I understand, we've talked about this a bit, that it errs on the side of cheesiness, but to me... That is part of the earnest appeal of the show.
That's what the great crossover with Arrow that they had where they talked about how fucking bright and cheery.
Yeah, it was incredible. I mean, Grant Gustin, the star, is great. He's magnetic. He's funny. The show, I get excited about going home and watching it. It really, to me, feels like everything that I want superheroes, superhero comics, superhero TV shows to be.
Isn't it funny how a sense of optimism, that's all it takes, and all of a sudden you're like, wow, that's pretty great. Like, it's
well, and it's also one of the only shows on air, comic book or otherwise, that is positive.
Or comics. Yeah. I mean, that's kind of a... I don't understand why people, like, you know... I don't know. I think optimism is such a big thing. People like it. I mean, comics are escapism. So are comic shows and comic
movies. Like, and what he does, what I love about the show also is that The Flash does the following things. He meets a villain. First thing, he's like, hey, let's talk about this. Let's try to figure this out. Come over to my side. I can help you out. Villain beats him up a little bit. He tries again. And then they try to figure it out through science. And it's definitely comic book science. It's definitely TV show science. So it's very simple. But they actually legitimately try to figure out how to help this person rather than just kill them or stop them dead in their tracks. And I just think that's, I don't know, I think it's kind of wonderful.
That is, Flash is one of my favorites as well. But I think, I just think it's a well-written show. Like, it's a, the way they've structured the different characters and how there's a character with a bit of a double identity going on. Like, that is, it's very well done. And it is cheesy, but they do it in a way where, and I'm a hard judge, I accept that cheesiness that they do.
Well, what's your favorite comic book TV show of the year?
I think Walking Dead. On my DVR, Walking Dead is the first show I watch when I get home on Sunday night. It's just been great this year, and it's only getting better.
Cool. Pete, what about you?
So this was a tough one because, obviously, my Arrow corner is so popular, and Arrow has really, in the beginning when it started, people were kind of shitting on it.
Wait, we got to come back to that.
No, come on. I'm going to stop talking about Arrow.
No, we don't have time.
Constantine is my favorite.
Really?
Really?
Because I love the comic so much that just the fact that they made a TV show and the guy playing it is, I feel like he does such a great job playing Constantine. It makes me so happy.
Well, why did you call up the heads of NBC and have it canceled?
I did not do that.
Yeah, it wasn't canceled. Why?
It's not canceled. They cut their order.
They cut their order.
It'll be back.
Yeah. Charles, what about you? Do you have a favorite comic book
show? I feel unqualified to answer this to a certain extent because I don't have as much time to watch shows as I wish I did.
Sure, sure.
I've dipped into a lot of things. I've watched a fair amount of Arrow and enjoyed that a lot.
It's a great show, guys.
I like it. I think the fight scenes are great. I saw the pilot of Flash, dug that. Walking Dead has been really good. I've actually been enjoying Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. a bit.
Yeah.
You know, they
I'm sorry for you. Not a lot of shows is five shows you've been watching.
But I've seen like an episode or two of each of those. You know, so
cool.
Anyway,
cool. Jordan, what about you?
I agree that Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. has been terrific this season. I really liked it a lot. Constantine, I like a lot as well. I've been enjoying.
Yeah,
it
buddy.
I know a lot of people are down on Gotham. I've been digging it. I thought it was a lot of fun.
Yeah I watch it. I think it's pretty good.
And then I guess it doesn't really count, but like I said, Rebels is super fun. And
it is pretty damn good.
That counts.
Star Wars Rebels?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It really has been a blast. So I've really enjoyed that. I feel like there's other comic book shows, but I just can't think. Was there something that ended like halfway through the year or anything like that? Or?
Nope.
No.
Right. Agent Carter is about to start.
And iZombie's about to start.
There you go.
Plenty
more to talk about.
And I can't wait for all these Marvel Netflix shows for Christ's sake.
Yeah.
When are you going to come out with these already, Jordan? What the fuck?
I'm waiting until it'll upset you the most.
Okay, great.
There you go. All right, guys. That's it for the week. And Geek, we're going to move on with our next section, which is trivia. For that, we're going to turn it over to Pete LePage.
All right, guys. This is the part we give back to you, the lovely audience. It's an opportunity to win $25 free dollars in the form of a gift card to Midtown Comics Because you would go to a comic book shop if you had $25. Who would like $25? Simple raising of the hand. A simple raise. Yes, you first hand up guy.
Yeah.
Come on down.
Classic first hand.
Come on down.
Up guy.
Here you go.
All right. What is your name, sir?
My name is Curtis.
Curtis, audience, Curtis.
Hi, Curtis.
All right. Yeah, there we go. Be a nice audience. Say hello to Curtis, guys. Jeez. Yeah. All right. So today's trivia is a little different. It's the year in review trivia. So listen to the question. Listen to all three possible answers. Get all three questions right. You will win $25. All right. 2014 was a big year. Which of these things actually happened? Is it A, Wolverine lived all year? B, there were no flashbacks in Arrow? Or is it C, old JT Sizzle got married?
Oh.
So is it A, Wolverine lived, there were no flashbacks in Arrow, or did JT Sizzle get married?
There's nothing old C. about JT Sizzle. C.
Did you guys hear the hitch in Pete's voice, by
I'm
the way?
I'm going to go with C.
C is correct.
Oh, there's so many.
JT Sizzle got
nice.
Married.
Great job. It happened.
Old JT Sizzle. All right. Question number two. We had a lot of great team-ups this year, but who is this? Who is the newest member of a team? Is it A, the Flash-Arrow team-up, B, the Superman-Batman team-up, or is it C, the Zelbin family adding a new member to their team? So it's either A, B, or it's C. Pick C.
I'm going to go with C.
That's that right. Zelbin had a kid this year.
Very sharp.
What a great year. What a great
year. Zelbin team been fighting this year?
Yeah, yeah. Great. Nice job. All right. Last one. What is the worst tweet that JT Sizzle put out this year? Uh-oh. Is this A? Now, these are actual tweets.
Oh,
is
boy.
It A, this Overboard movie is airtight? B, turned down for snakes? Or is it C, that girl's clothes are pregnant? So it's a, and I will accept any of these.
Oh, my God.
Is it wow. A, this Overboard movie is airtight, B, turned down for snakes, or C, that girl's clothes are pregnant?
I'm going to stick with my C pattern and go.
Yeah! All right. $25. Thank you, Curtis.
Amazing. So I'm surprised you didn't take yourself down with
that. Exactly. You were like, let's talk about Justin. Let's talk about Alex. And then let's really drag Justin over the coals.
Yeah, well, I didn't want to talk about myself. That would be weird.
What's the defining moment for you?
Yeah, what's
this
your year?
Yeah, for your life.
I don't know how to answer that. I'm still here. I'm still here.
Jesus Christ.
Wow, that's the absolute lowest.
Oh, my God.
That's the lowest the bar could ever be.
Still a human being,
still
I guess.
Still living.
All right, Charles, before we go, you want to plug some stuff? What should people check out for me?
Well, Wolverine's One, the first issue of the weekly series, comes out in just a few weeks. I think it's the first week, first Wednesday in January. That isn't New Year's, whatever, that Wednesday. She-Hulk and Swamp Thing are both ending fairly soon. I hope everybody checks out the finales because we've worked very, very hard on them. And obviously keep reading Letter 44, which is a hell of a series, if I do say so myself.
All right, cool. Jordan, what about you? What do you want to plug?
Well, first of all, there's all the comics I work on. Second of all, I have a podcast I started since last time I was on this the show.
Ooh.
It's a show called Sailor Business, in which me and Chris Sims talk about every episode of Sailor Moon, the old series, not the new series, the 1992 series.
Wow, what a living nightmare.
We talk about each half-hour episode for like maybe an hour or 15 minutes.
Wow, wow.
It's super fun. It's super great. So check that out. That's Sailor Business. You can also, the Twitter for that is at Sailor Business.
I have such distinct memories of getting up years ago and reading all of your Sailor Moon tweets that you posted.
You wished that they had mute back then, I'm sure.
Well, no, I would actually read them and sometimes respond.
That's true.
There you go.
Yeah, like I said, I lost followers back when I used to do that because people would be annoyed.
Speaking of losing followers, before we wrap this up, you're going to play us out with some songs, right, Jordan?
Yeah, I'm going to lose you some followers.
Cool, so we're going to say our thank yous and goodbyes, and then Jordan is going to play a song or two for you before we go. So we don't have a next week's show. Normally we have the show every Tuesday at 7 a.m., But we're going to take a couple of weeks
7
off.
7 a.m. Wow. Spoiler.
You're early. I'm here real early.
Yeah.
7 p.m.
Have you been drinking since 7 a.m.?
Yeah. So we will be off the next couple of weeks, but we'll be back on January 6th here at Fontana's at 7 p.m.
There we go.
We want to thank our fabulous interns, Iman Bell, Tom Radar, Craig Fletcher, David McKay, and Riley Trahan. We want to thank Charles for being on the show.
Yeah, Charles! Yeah, yeah, yeah.
My pleasure.
And we want to thank Jordan, who's going to play
Jordan
us
out.
Thank you very much. Okay, so I have two Christmas songs to play for you. The first one is a cover. It's a cover of a song by the California punk band The Vandals. They have a whole Christmas album. It's super awesome. I thought Pete might like this one. We'll see if he does.
Yeah.
Oh, goodness. Okay. Fa-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la. Thanks for nothing. You shouldn't have. Oh, you didn't. You're so generous. Thanks for nothing. Never mind all the stuff that I got for you. It was my pleasure. Getting nothing back. Come next year, I'm getting you. Exactly what? You got me fucking nothing! See how you like it! I don't have much money, but I got you something nice. I maxed out my car, didn't care about the price, to show I care this time of year. La 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 la, thanks for nothing. So I'm the sap under the Christmas tree, trying to find the gifts that I thought you bought for me, but there was nothing there! What a shock! Just torn up Christmas wrappings from all the gifts I bought. Thanks for all the effort to brighten up my Christmas. Thank you for the knife that you stabbed me in the back with. What a blessing. You're really something. La 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 la. Thanks for nothing. I've been so selfless, choosing gifts so soft and heavily. Sweated in a crowded mall. You didn't get shit for me. You selfish asshole. I hope you die. Choking on your putrid pile of presents 6 feet high. Thanks for making Christmas such a disappointment. Thanks for making caring seem so fucking pointless. What a pal. I'll tell you one thing. La 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 la. Thanks for nothing. La 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 la. Thanks for nothing. La 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 la. Fuck you.
I think he liked it.
I can imagine you'll be singing that this year to someone. Mm-hmm. All right, this one is not a cover. This one is one I wrote. It's also about Christmas. Hopefully you will like it. Each year at Christmas time, we feel our spirits lift. That's when we put aside our differences and try to mend our rifts. So hold on to the memory of how I cherish every gift. Because come New Year's I'll be miffed until it's Christmas time again, when we wish goodwill to men and we won't be spreading love and joy till then. At Christmas time we throw our arms round the human race, but tell me what makes Christmas special if all year long we embrace. And so for just this season, in my heart you have a place. Then get the hell out of my face until it's Christmas time again, when we wish goodwill to men and we won't be decking any halls till then. 'Cause Christmas time was meant for spreading cheer, so when it's not December, we spread pain and hate and fear. 'Cause they're only happy holidays if you can sit and count the ways. They're better than the rest of the year. So cheer up, Santa baby. Christmas time's no time to pout. Come on and pour yourself some eggnog. You'll feel better without a doubt. And let us not forget just what this holiday is about. Give me my presents, then get out. Until it's Christmas time again, when we wish goodwill to men and we won't drink down a cup of cheer till then. Until it's Christmas time again, when we wish goodwill to men and we won't be spreading love and joy till then.
Jordan D. White.
Jordan D. White.
All right, everybody. Happy holidays.
Happy holidays.
Thanks, everybody, for coming out.